Thank you for listening to Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Charney, and today we talk about Microsoft's final aggressive push to Windows 10, and we talk about home theater PCs. I want to thank everybody for listening today, and I want everybody to know, first off, is I'm a big fan of Microsoft, and I really like Windows 10. I think it's a great evolutionary step from the horrible operating system, which was 8.1, and 8.1 was really two operating systems jam-packed together and then coded poorly, honestly. That giant freaking menu is a horrible idea. I've got two 21-inch monitors at home. The last thing I need is one menu taking up an entire screen. It's just a poor idea. And Microsoft is now forcing Windows 10 on people by making it a mandatory update. And I think this is a bad idea. I mean, I'm all for giving people free OS upgrades, like Apple's been doing it. But making it a mandatory is very, very, very sneaky. I just think it's poor to make it a recommended update. Now, here's why. I've got a couple of pieces of technology in my life that you would probably call it mission critical for what I do. And it's based off of Windows 7. And I'm almost positive this particular software does not work on 8. Now, on Windows 10. And you could probably say compatibility and blah, 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 but I'm not willing to risk it, especially considering how much it cost me for this piece of mission-critical technology. And if I got home one day, jumped on the computer, and all of a sudden it was Windows 10, I would be very upset. Actually, that's an understatement. I'd be incredibly upset. And I have a big issue with this. Ma and Pa Kettle have no reason to have their computers force update when it works. Most people get new OSs when they upgrade to different computers. And look, I'm a geek, so I routinely reformat my computer. I'm always putting the latest, greatest operating system on my computer, but that's me. That's my bread and butter. I am not a civilian when it comes to technology. And I really hate that Microsoft is doing this. I've heard comments, you know, I'm out there shopping, and you hear comments from customers like Walmart complaining about how they got home and Windows 10 was installed and they don't like it and how do you roll it back. And nowadays when you buy a computer, they don't always give you driver disks. So it's not like I could say, no problem, give me your computer, I'll put Windows XP or 7 back on it. They don't even allow you to do that. Now they tell you to do something like rescue disks or, you know, something like that. And it's such a bad idea. I miss the days when they'd actually include a copy of the OS. And by the way, I've been fighting this non-OS thing for a while now. The greatest thing about some of the newer operating systems like 10 is there's ways to basically start from scratch without losing your files. I like that because it makes my life as a technology enthusiast better because, let's face it, I'm everybody's IT guy. So whether you're talking about your mom, dad, girlfriend, brother, sisters, cousin, twice removed on the brother's side, I'm their IT guy. I'm the person they call when something doesn't happen. And for me to just say, oh yeah, go here, here, and here, this will basically start from scratch without installing an operating system is beautiful because honestly, installing Windows is a giant pain because at this point, you got to let it sit for 2 days as it updates. And there is a way, and I'm going to include this in the show notes, there is a way to actually stop Windows 10 from updating a computer. And some of the people recommend actually turning off recommended updates. I don't recommend doing that because honestly, that's going to make your computer extremely insecure. There'll be viruses knocking on your door. Was it like the Mucinex commercial, you know? Hey, I'm home. You don't want that. Trust me. Now, there are a couple of ways to do it. Usually what I've been doing on one of my computers is a pop-up screen that says, you now can upgrade to the greatest, greatest, latest creation from Windows, you know, Microsoft. And you just click no. That's what I do. I click no every freaking time I turn on a computer. Because it's another computer that to me is mission critical. And I realize you're saying, how many computers does this guy own? A lot. And each one does its own specialized thing. And I realize it sounds a little bit overkill. Hey, why can't you just combine computers? It just kind of worked out this way, trust me. Otherwise, I would have. But long story. Maybe someday I'll tell you if I have time. What do you think? I mean, do you guys like Windows 10? I've heard a lot of people in retail environments and talking to people who don't really like Windows 10. I like Windows 10 because it's kind of it's a decent combination between Windows 7, which I liked, very stable, never had an issue with it, and Windows 8.1, which I have some issues with it, and I actually had some pretty big problems. Now, I didn't have Windows ME problems, but I still had some issues that caused some minor headaches. The thing I like is Microsoft returned to the standard menu. I mean, it's kind of an overgrown menu, but it's a menu. It's not a full page. Now, they still have the full page in there. If you like it, if you're one of the few people out there in the world who likes having a menu take up the entire screen when you're not on a tablet using a mouse and keyboard, even the only thing that really bugs me is the ads. If you look by the time, by the clock, there's a little icon, and it looks like a page, a piece of paper or whatnot, and you click on it, and I use Office 2010. It works for me. I don't really need the latest and greatest Office software. I don't write all that much anymore. And so it's kind of annoying when I click on it and I get this giant banner. Now you can upgrade to Office 2016 because we saw you using old software. Why, Microsoft? I realize, you know, you're trying to peddle your wares, but I'm the wrong audience here. I mean, I stick to software that's old because it works, and I don't really need a lot of Office. I don't need to write too many reports. Everything works. I mean, maybe when I have children, I'll update to the latest and greatest version of Microsoft every couple of years, because that's probably what, you know, they might do in school if that they're still using Word. Because honestly, a lot of schools now are using Chromebooks, which kind of weirds me out a little bit, but a little bit of a sidebar. Actually, no, let's go into that. Have you guys actually seen any of these Chromebooks? Now, what a Chromebook is, it's basically using Chromium OS, and it's pretty much like a terminal. It has some on-built storage, but it pretty much completely dependent on Google's world. You're talking about, you know, Google Notes, you're talking about Gmail. And what do you think? I mean, you guys really want a PC that's basically cloud-based? No, the benefit of it is they're cheap, like $100, $200, and they work. A lot of schools now are switching to it. You know, I've had conversations with friends who are like, oh, I just bought Jimmy a new Chromebook because, well, they didn't want them to use a Windows PC. Don't know why. I mean, and that's actually happened. The bad thing about it is you can't really buy software for it. Granted, there's the Google Store. I don't remember, was it the Chrome Store? Something like that. I mean, you can download a lot of the extensions, a lot of the add-ons. You know, maybe that's cool. I mean, maybe I'm just old school in a lot of ways and I like actually buying software or, you know, getting open source software. I don't know. I want something a little bit heavy, but it's $200. Now, I do want one because there's a way on some of them you can actually install a flavor of Ubuntu on it. And I think that's cool. For $200 or $300, some of these Chromebooks would be absolutely amazing than these computers. And you can dual boot them. Now, at the moment, I don't have one, but that's something down the pike I want to do, because if I can dual boot a Chrome to Linux computer, oh, simple. Hey, I hand it, somebody's kid wants to use it, boom, hit a button, switch over to Chrome. If I want to use it, boom, hit a button, switch over to Linux. Now, granted, you have to reboot your computer and basically boot into Linux or boot into Chromium. But to me, that's the perfect thing. You've got a computer with split personalities that's simple, nobody can mess up, and then I can do whatever I want. Well, allows me to a little bit of playtime, which is something I dig. Now, what do you think? Are you guys into Chromebooks? I mean, what do you do for your computers? Do you guys use tablets? Do you guys use your cell phones? Do you use a laptop, or do you build towers? I mean, right now I have an older Core i7. I'm using SLI, which is dual video cards for dual monitors. So pretty much I have a monitor per video card. I know a lot of you out there saying, no, why do that? It's because I also do video editing, and having video editing in that way, it makes it a little bit easier to have one monitor that does all the rendering. And it sounds a little weird, but trust me, it works perfectly. It works great for my workflow. Especially dual monitors. Now, I also game too, so having SLI and the extra horsepower for gaming is amazing. It's very exquisite. If you guys ever get a chance to play with a Core i7 on SLI, it's amazing. I really want quad SLI just for the extra frame rate. But what do you guys think? How do you do your computing? A lot of people nowadays just basically do it off their phones and their tablets. I mean, I don't think I could do that. For what I do, I need a little bit more, how do you say it? I just need a little bit more options than what tablets provide. I like having an operating system that, like Windows, and Windows is very similar to Android, or Android's very similar to Windows. It allows you to do what you want, but you have to be careful. Now, we're coming up to a break, and I want to thank you for listening to this part, and then we'll catch you after the break. And now we're back from the break. In this part of the show, we're going to talk about wearable tech. Now, wearable tech, it's not a new idea. Actually, Dick Tracy is the first one I remember that had wearable technology. If you watch a cartoon or see the movie, he has a little watch he can talk into. That's wearable technology. And Matter of fact, you can do that with the Apple Watch. You can actually hold on full conversations talking to you in your wrist. Granted, it looks kind of weird. And, you know, back as a kid, you see Dick Tracy. Oh, that looks awesome. You want to do it. And in real life, it's not as fun as you think. It's actually kind of strange. And there is a ton of different wearable technologies. One of my favorite is by a company called Pebble. They make very inexpensive smartwatches. You know, inexpensive of anywhere between $200 and $300 and something dollars. You know, and at this point now, you can start to get some of the Apple Watches for the higher end of that, the $300 or $400. But I love the smartwatch. Now, the reason I like the smartwatch is I've been in meetings before and had something come up, you know, and it's very rude. And matter of fact, sometimes it can get you in a lot of trouble answering your phone or looking at your texts. The coolest thing is you glance down like you're looking at time and you can read text. And that's actually helped me, what I could say, excuse me, I got to do something real quick. And it works. It works great. I like the fact that you can hang up on a phone call. You know, say if you're talking with somebody, having a conversation, instead of whipping out your phone, you look down, hit a button, hang up the call, sends it to voicemail. Great piece of kit. Now, the most interesting thing is wearable tech on clothing hasn't really come out. And that, to me, is the next step, I think. That's the next step. I mean, wearable clothing. I know there's a product I read about for women. It's a sports bra that basically has some of the technology built into the band, like a heart rate monitor. Now, I think that's cool because it's a built-in technology and you're going to get a better accurate reading for your heartbeat than you're going to do out of the Apple Watch or some of the other, like Fitbit, for example, that use these little green diodes to actually track your heart rate. I remember years ago, there was a jacket for skiing that basically you connected into your iPod, and you can control it that way. And what do you think? Would you be interested in more wearable tech? Now, wearable tech would also include the Google Glass that we talked about in a previous episode. I'm a bigger fan of the more svelte technology that honestly doesn't look ridiculous like Google Glass does, because honestly, you look pretty ridiculous wearing Google Glass into places, and it kind of freaks people without the camera, but you know, that's a sidebar. Make sure you're listening to the last episode. But I mean, what do you think? I mean, I love the idea of wearable technology, and I include some links to different wearable websites in the show notes that for wearable technology and reviews about it. One I mentioned, Fitbit, I know sells a lot. And one of the ones people really like is the Charge HR. Now, the Charge HR gets the heart rate off the bottom using like green lights or diodes. I'm not actually sure quite yet how the technology works. My Apple Watch actually does the same thing. But the coolest thing about that is it's basically just for fitness. So it tracks your exercising, heart rate. It also tracks your sleeping. You know, from somebody like me, my watch doing that is fine. I don't need super accurate. I need good enough. And that's pretty much what I do. But what do you guys think? Is there a piece of wearable technology that you would like? Do you want clothing, t-shirts? How connected do you want to be? Because after a while, I think it gets a little... You get a little much. I mean, I have an Apple Watch and I have an iPhone and I think they're perfect. I love the idea of wearable technology. But what is the next step? There's allegedly a Samsung watch, I think, if I remember correctly, that's supposed to have a little projector. And what you do is it projects the number pad. So pretty much you're dialing on your palm. It's not a new idea. Back in the mid-90s, there was a company that basically came out something similar for a phone. Matter of fact, there was also a watch pager that I remember selling at Costco when I was younger. And I think the thing with wearable technology is when it doesn't become inconvenience. And I think with the watches, it's not inconvenient. It's a small piece of tech. So what do you think? I mean, I think like the idea of a wearable jacket, I think that can be inconvenient. I think nowadays if they use Bluetooth, that'd be fine. But I don't like the idea of having to charge my jacket. Honestly, it's a little weird. Matter of fact, having to plug in my watch at the end of the night is still kind of weird. You know, watch batteries used to last me for years. Now, if I'm not careful, I won't be able to check what time it is in the morning. It's a little strange. And there's a ton of different ones. Honestly, at this point, you've got Pebble, you've got Samsung. There's a high-end watch manufacturer. I think it's called Huel. I think they're coming out with an Android watch, or they have an Android watch, which, by the way, is gorgeous. And see, that's the other thing, is you can spend a lot of money on watches. Like, I think there was a platinum and gold version of the Apple Watch. What do you do after 6 years say 3 years when they can't update it and you're stuck with like a $10,000 watch that doesn't do anything well anymore? I mean, I think that's the problem, is If you buy a $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 Rolex, not only will it never go out of style, it'll never lose value, it'll always do what it was originally designed to do. Technology like the Apple Watch, Samsung Watch, eventually you're going to hit a point where it doesn't do anything but tell time because the phone you used to have or you have now no longer talks with it. I think it's kind of weird. Allegedly, it was a Huel, I don't remember exact name, it's Huel something. Allegedly, the watches you can upgrade and you can update. Now, how well you can do that, it really depends on the manufacturer. I think that's a good idea. I don't know how well it'll really work. I don't know how well it works. I know how hard it is to work on laptops. So they're going to have to make it pretty user-friendly if it's going to be something you can do at home, because trust me, home fixing laptops and small tech is very bad. You can destroy it very easily. One of the sole reasons I no longer work on laptops, a story I will not tell anybody because it still kind of hurts. So what do you think? In all honesty, is there any piece of wearable technology you would use, whether, you know, the ladies out there wearing like the sports bra or like a smart shoe, smart ring, you know, allegedly there was a ring when you get a phone call, it glows. And is there a real need for it? Is it a problem in search of a solution? I mean, I like the smartwatch and the Apple Watches. But at the end of the day, I don't really use all the features. Honestly, the only thing I notice is I use the timer. I like seeing who calls me and text. Now, texting is kind of cool on the Apple Watch because you can use Siri to actually give a full response. Granted, Siri doesn't always get everything you want. And so, you know, mileage may vary on the quality of that. And you got some canned responses, you know, like, hey, I'll be right there. Or by the way, thank you. I love you. You know, stuff like that. I don't know. I mean, I don't use it all that much. And do you? If you have a smartwatch, do you use it all the time? And what do you do with it? Do you play games on it? Because I've never played a game on my smartwatch, just mainly because I need it to last. And I'm pretty sure if I played a game for 20 minutes, the battery would die on it. Because, I don't know, I haven't really decided if it's something that I need. Now, or like, say, what piece of technology would you make? You know, the one I really want, and we kind of talked a little bit in the last episode, was I like the idea of a wearable technology. Like, what I really want is like augmented reality in my glasses. That's something I could use. I think it would be a great piece of kit that if I talked to somebody and forgot their name, you know, the glass would say, hey, this is Bob from accounting, or, you know, this is Leslie from the car dealership down the street. To me, that would be perfect because honestly, if it wasn't the fact my name's sewn in all my shirts, I don't know if I'd remember mine. Bad joke, sorry. The smart glasses to me would be awesome because, you know, I can get lost in a wet paper bag. So I depend a lot on Google Maps. So to me, that is something that I would use. I use my smartwatch for things like that. I use my cell phone. I don't know. I mean, what do you think? And oh, by the way, another sidebar, can we stop calling stuff smart? Because usually when stuff is smart, it's not smart. It's really annoying. Like the smart cards, you know, those credit cards that have the built-in chips. Well, I don't mind them. And I like the fact it's safer. That 30 seconds is not smart. Matter of fact, I've seen customers out, you know, and I'm at the store grabbing, you know, cereal or something. And I've seen customers freak out like, why isn't this, you know, doing this? And why does this take 30 seconds? It's annoying. I hate the term smart. Smart TVs are not smart. If it's not permanently upgradable, it is not smart. It is dumb, in my opinion. And so we're going to switch off to another break out there. Another break. So see you after the break. Now we're going to talk a little bit about HTPCs or home theater PCs. Now home theater PCs, what they are, whether you buy it or you build it, they're computers that are made for the sole use of connecting to your television. Now I've had a different variants of it. I've had different versions of them. The first one I ever used was Windows XP Media Center Edition that using a capture card and a few other components, I actually turned into a DVR connected to an old DirecTV receiver. It worked great for years. After a while, it got a little, I used to call it geriatric, because it would start recording programs that I never asked it to. But that's the nature of using Windows XP. It worked great. I had a bunch of videos on there. I had a bunch of music on there. It was an amazing piece of kit. My favorite thing to do on it, honestly, was using Firefox or Chrome or whatever flavor of browser you are, and going on to YouTube, Netflix, and just doing that. Now, you can replace a lot of that now with set-top boxes like Roku. When I first started doing this, those set-top boxes, they were around. I think Western Digital had one. They just were not that good. The quality was not great. Right now, I'm using a Mac Mini because, honestly, Mac has the best industrial design on the planet. And I don't have to have some giant PC sitting there. Now, granted, now you can do like the Intel Nook, like we talked about last episode, but the Mac works very well. It's very pretty. The interface at Mac OS X is perfect for using on a giant television, I think. The thing I like about it, honestly, is you can do a desktop environment on a giant television. Now, there's some great piece of software. I use Plex, and what Plex is basically, you put the server side on your desktop or on your home theater PC, and you can stream it wherever you are. It's a content management tool, so you can put, say if you have 400 DVDs, you put all 400 on your home theater PC. Plex is a way you can manage it. The coolest thing about Plex is you can give your friends, for example, the keys to the kingdom for you. You can let them edit it, or you can let them just view it, and they can watch your content at their house if they have the Plex app. Now, I'm doing this with a couple of friends of mine, and it's perfect. I really enjoy it because they can say, hey, John, I just bought a movie. Why don't you take a look at it? Or, you know, you can say, hey, look at this, hey, my daughter's first steps are there. Why don't you go to my Plex account and take a look at it? It's amazing. You can do that with audio, video. A friend of mine even tried doing it with audiobooks, and the problem with audiobooks is it actually didn't hold the chapter, but it's great. I love home theater PCs. I don't know if I would say doing a DVR anymore, if it's still possible to do it, because the DVR side for me, I was constantly fighting that. One of the main issues I was fighting with Media Center Edition of Windows XP was DRM. Anytime they would do an update, I would have to reset the DRM. And it's not a long, complicated process, but it's annoying because it actually stopped me from watching some of the TV shows I was watching. And come on, don't mess with a guy and his television. Come on, you know, if I want to watch, you know, Overhauling, don't mess that up, please. I'm begging you. They'll be on the show notes. There's a link to the 10 best Windows media alternatives on the htcpbeginners.com. And there's a bunch of different variants of home theater software. Kodiak or Kodi, is it K-O-D-I, something like that. It used to be called XBMC, which is Xbox Media Center Edition. There's a couple of other open source ones. I like, Kodak XBMC because it was very easy, great user interface, and it's what they call a 10-foot interface. Basically, you can be on your couch and do it and use it well. Honestly, unlike using Mac OS X on a giant screen, you can't read anything unless you're like 5 feet from the monitor. By the way, Chrome is really hard to use. The major issue I have with a lot of it using the desktop environment is you can't read some of the text, and while you can make the text bigger, it doesn't scale well to me on the television. Mainly Chrome and not being able to read my bookmarks and I don't really want to have to scale all the text up because I can read all the text except for my bookmarks, which is where I have everything for my entertainment, you know, Netflix, Hulu, and all the other places I go for watching my content. Let's see. Home theater PCs, they've been around forever. You know, I know I talked about this a little bit. I'm kind of repeating myself, actually. I like home theater PCs. Actually, sometime what I want to do is I want to get a Nook and one of the Intel NUCs. I'll probably get the Core i5 and turn it to a dedicated Plex server. Now, I could do this with my Mac Mini, but I want something that's dedicated. I want something that I can that's headless. Headless basically means there's no monitor, so I'll be using TeamViewer or one of these other remote login programs that I can put in a closet. You know, kind of set it, you know, ROM peel it, set it and forget it, and just do that because it's perfect for what a home theater PC is for. And at this point with the set-top boxes, not everybody needs it. Honestly, I wouldn't have my parents use it because it's not always the easiest. And I know for them, they just want to use it. For me, I love the ability just to play around. I love being able to goof around and doing coding and kind of doing whatever I want, going websites. And that's my bread and butter. Like I said, though, I'm not really a civilian when it comes to technology. And there's an interesting piece of technology that I've been kind of using for a while, and this is a little bit of a switch up, is the Raspberry Pi. Now, Raspberry Pi is a credit card sized computer that plugs into a computer monitor with mouse and keyboard. It runs off an ARM processor, very similar to the processor that's on your smartphone, for example. And I want you to check out the website of the Raspberry. So it's a Raspberry Pi. As in, it's raspberrypi.org. And it's an amazing piece of kit. There's an amazing stuff what people can do to it. I'm using Volumino. And basically what I'm using Volumino is it uses AirPlay from my iPhone. So basically what I do is wirelessly tell my phone, go to Volumino, and I can stream to my PC speakers that I have on my bedside table and, you know, old time radio, Pandora. There's other things. Google has a Google Audio. Walmart has their Blackwood brand has actually a Bluetooth receiver that turns any speakers into Bluetooth. Another way, there's a bunch of stuff. What I want you to do is I want you to check out a Raspberry Pi community. It's reddit.com/r/raspberry_pi. Now, this is cool because a lot of it's DIY. A lot of people are turning them into like old video game players, like a MAME machines. And they're small credit card sized machines. So it disappears. Some guy built a, what was it? There's a video game, built a game, a gun from Destiny or one of these video games and had a heads up display that was in the game for it. It's amazing what you can do. Somebody actually built the door from Lord of the Rings. You know, when they're going to Khazad Dûm and, you know, it says speak friend and enter. The guy says the password, the door lights up, and this is all controlled with Raspberry Pi and I think an Adreno controller, and the door opens. See, this is homebrew at its best, and I'm not really a programmer, so unfortunately, I'm a little limited on what I can do, but if you can even remotely program, you can make some amazing things with this piece of technology. The thing that I've been wanting to play with it, and it's just a matter of getting time to do it, is you can turn it into a DNS. You can have your own private DNS. And what it is, I think it stands for Domain Name Server. This turns your website, you know, say Bob's website, into the IP. So pretty much what it takes is the IP would be like, say, 192.68.1.1, for example, and it would turn it to Bob's House of Computers.com. You know, it translates back and forth. Hopefully that makes sense. And so this one gives you the ability to actually do, like, say, fine-tune things. You know, it makes you can turn off all ads via the DNS. You can make it more family-oriented. You could do keyword blocks. So you can do an amazing piece of this, and I like the idea of being able to play with my own domain name server. Now, allegedly, this is all scripts and stuff that you can do and other things, and there are some of the stuff built in the routers. The Linksys smart routers now have some of this. You're never going to be able to do ad blocking if that's something you're really into. The only thing I wish I could block, honestly, are those ads on websites that start talking. I hate audio ads like that. You know, it'll be like, hey, check out Bob's House Computers. Click here. That's annoying. It's an amazing, you know, I keep saying it, but it really is. It's just amazing. I want you to check it out and see what you can do. On the Reddit community, there's an amazing amount of people in what they do. And it's really, it's really limited imagination. Somebody turn it into a radio in their car. Basically, you can get a cheap monitor, plug it in there, a touchscreen, and it does it all. Some guy made one so he can check all his social media comments and stats and see where he goes. You know, this guy's a marketing guy, and so for him, it was perfect. Allowed him to have it on his desk and check his stats and go, okay, got to check out Facebook, got to go here. You got to check it out. And I want to thank you all for listening today. And do you have any comments or questions about any of the content or stuff we talked about, where we talked about Microsoft forcing users to go to Windows 10? Or do you want wearable, or do you have any comments or questions about wearable technologies? Any wearable technology do you want? Or you just think it's ridiculous? And also, you talk about home theater PCs. Do you have one and do you use it? And what do you think of homebrewing personal computers like Raspberry Pi? Now, you can download everything on, you can download and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can also go to our Facebook page or go to our website, which is gsmcpodcasts.com. And you can stay in touch, like I said, with Facebook and Twitter. And I want to thank you for listening.